The 16th verse is also a very beautiful one. It extends a little bit what we have studied in the previous verse. The 16th verse. Aham kraturaham yajnaha swadahamaham aushadham mantro hamahame vajyam aham agniraham hutam. So here he has given the example of a yajnashala, because in Arjuna was a child of the Vedic periods, when the yajna or offering sacrifice into the fire was a very important method of worship. In that time they didn't have buildings and churches and temples so much. They saw God in the nature, because they lived very close to nature. They didn't have these tall buildings and skyscrapers and this fog and pollution and traffic. And it was a more, you know, there were not that many people. There was more open air and people lived very close to nature. And so they worshipped the Lord in all the elements, in the thunder, in the lightning, in the rain, in the Lord of the wind and the sun, the moon, you know, all of them they worshipped as God. And fire was a very important deity to be worshipped, because fire was considered as the Federal Express. Just as, you know, you deliver something to Federal Express, you know, next morning 11 o'clock is guaranteed to be there. So fire was considered the messenger that transports our prayers to the Lord, because they knew that the Lord is very difficult to reach. So by offering into the fire was considered the messenger. Fire was a deity, was God. But it was the messenger that transported. So people worshipped God through yajnas, through offering the. And here also, when we do weddings or when we do any major activities, we light a fire and we offer, you know, do swaha and all that. So that was the idea. So what he wanted to tell him is that whatever you see in this world is me alone. And this is why it's a very beautiful example. He says, aham kratu. Kratuha means I am the sacrifice. The Lord says, I am the sacrifice. Aham yajna. And yajna is sacrifice offered to the Lords. Because they used to have specific yajnas for specific purpose. Like if you wanted rain, if there had been no rainfall, there were specific mantras that could be chanted and specific prayers to God Indra, who is the Lord of rain. And by invoking him, the rain, actually they could do that, make rainfall. So aham yajna. So yajna is offering to the gods, to the deities, or to the Almighty Lord also. You can offer it to Brahman, the consciousness. I invoke Brahman, the universal consciousness, by offering. So that is called yajna, where you offer it to the higher powers. Swadha. Swadha aham. Swadha is offering to the pitrus, to the ancestors, because in India, but the elders are always revered and worshipped, because it is because of the elders that I am here on this earth, because of my parents. And not only that, but when I was little, they took care of me and, you know, changed my diaper and cleaned my nose and, you know, took care for me through illness. And now it is my duty to rever and worship. And that's why a lot of homes, people still get up in the morning and touch their parents' feet, with the idea that the parents that's why they say, that mata, tvameva mata pita tvameva, tvameva bandushcha sakhatam. I see you in my father, I see you in my mother. So, not only this reverence for the parents, and also that it is my duty to take care of my parents. Once they have become old, I cannot say, they have become old and just let them go. But since they took care of me when I am young, it is now my duty to take care of my parents. It's not I'm doing them a favor, but I am just returning the debt I have. You know, because we owe a lot of debt to a lot of people. And it is part of my dharma, part of my duty to take care of my parents. But interestingly, in the ancient Hindus, the debt was not just discharged at the time of death. Okay, my parents are dead, I can forget them. They would remember them even after they are gone, because they believe that the ancestors go into a world called Pitruloka, which is the world of the ancestors. Even in the American Indians, they always worship the ancestors. That was so. My ancestors are there. They are in that subtle form. So they used to offer what is called a shraddha. Shraddha means an offering that is done to my ancestors. And so they would offer food to the ancestors, and they would offer the food in the fire so that my ancestors may be fed, because it is part of my duty to feed them. And it is said that the food, even though gets burnt in the fire, or they would offer food to the poor people, you know, in the name of my father or grandfather or great-grandfather who died, I serve the poor so that they may get the merit of that, because I owe them that. So, and it is said that when food is offered with that attitude, the subtle aspect of food does reach them. And they do consume that, because they live in a subtle body. The ancestors are living in a subtle body. So that's why we were reading somewhere, they said the food should be very hot, because the heat travels, it is said. You know, we were reading somewhere in the study group that the food should be hot because the heat travels up. So swadha is the offering of food, either in the fire or offering to the poor people, with the idea that this food I'm offering as a tribute to my ancestors, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. So swadaham. So the Lord says, I am the sacrifice. I am the swadha. I am even the food that you offer. Aham aushadham. And aushadham is the herbs and medicines, because herbs also were used in these rituals. So I am the herbs and medicines. Mantroham. Mantra. I am the mantra. Because the essential feature of this yagna was the offering of the chanting of mantras. And so he says, even that mantra that is chanted, I am. When you say Om, you say Om is one of God's names. So mantra aham, aham eva ajyam, and I am the ajyam, I am the ghee, I am the clarified butter that is offered. Aham agni, I am the fire. Aham hutam, I am the sacrifice. So the idea is that whatever activity you do, everything is nothing but the Lord alone. Like in that yagna, you know, like in the fourth chapter, and when you offer bhiksha to Swamiji's here, they will always say Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahmagnav, Brahma Nahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadina. So the idea is that enclosure in which the fire is lit is the Lord. The fire is the Lord. The ghee that is offered is the Lord. The food that is offered is the Lord. The grains that are offered are the Lord. The offerings is the Lord. The one who is offering is also the Lord. The one who is chanting the mantras is the Lord. The mantras that are being chanted are the Lord. The fire in which it is going. So the idea is that every activity, everything is nothing but the Lord, Lord, Lord alone. Whatever I have, whatever I have obtained, especially during eating, it is very important to remember that. Because when I sit down, like even the Christians, they chant, they say grace. Why? Because we thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this food that we are about to eat. May it nourish our body. And so that is the same idea, that the Lord is sitting in front of me as the food. Because where did the food come? Came from the ground, came from the earth. And the Lord is there in front of me, and when I'm consuming that food, I am remembering the Lord. And then it says, Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadina. So one who performs every activity dedicated to the Lord, then Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Then the Lord alone becomes his goal, his purpose. And that is why, I don't mean to be very, but I think vegetarianism is also part of that. Because when you are killing an animal, you know, whether you may not kill or somebody else may kill, but eating that, you are actually causing a lot of pain, you know, when that animal gets killed, whether it's a cow or a chicken or a pig or a lamb or whatever, there is a lot of pain caused. And so when you are eating meat, you are participating in that violence that is committed against that animal. You might say, well, plants have life too. That is true. Plants also have life. But then, you know, we need something to eat. Jivo jivasya jivanam, it is said in the in the Upanishads, jiva, only a living being can nourish us. You know, a dead, like we cannot eat mud or we cannot eat rocks. We have to eat a living organism to survive. But the idea is to eat the lowest organism in the food chain, because the plants, even though they have life, but they do not have as much life as an animal do. They don't bleed. They don't cry. And also when I'm eating the food, I should always say, the Lord, you are there in front of me. You should express gratitude, and may this food be used to nourish my body so that I may serve you and ultimately I may know you. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. So one who makes the Lord his goal then uses the Lord in service of all beings. So that is what he says, that whatever, in this case it is the yagna. You know, I am the yagna, I am the fire, I am. But you could be sitting in front of the computer and you can say, I am the computer, I am the internet, I am the Google, I am the Yahoo. Everything the Lord is. You know, a person working on a computer, a person, a pharmacist, you know, dispensing the medicines. You can say the medicines are the Lord, the patient is the Lord, the knowledge is the Lord, the books are the Lord. Everything. So the idea is that whatever activity you're doing, whether you're seeing patients or whether you're a teacher, and your teacher, you can say the children all sitting in front of me are the Lord himself. And by teaching them, I am serving the Lord. So every activity can become a worship. When you're driving, you can say the car is the Lord, the steering wheel is the Lord, I am the Lord who is driving, and the people who are, you know, and even if somebody cuts me off, instead of getting upset, I say, okay, that's the Lord too. You know? So then what happens is that every activity of yours can become a prayer. And that is the idea, that prayer should not only be confined to 5 minutes in the morning or 1 hour on Sunday, and then the rest of the week I can forget about him. No, I should constantly remember him. The more you remember him in all your activities, that's why they say that before you lie down to go to sleep at night, just lie down and just relax your body and lie down chanting his name, whatever your mantra is. And when you wake up in the morning, try as much as possible before you get up out of bed, just chant his name for a while, so that your whole day starts with remembering the Lord, and your day should end with remembering the Lord, rather than watching a violent movie or the 11 o'clock news. You know, read some good books before you go to bed, read about him, and then fall asleep remembering him. So the more you remember him, the closer you get to him. It is very clear, you know, like we have talked about, say there is a friend of yours, you know, who was a very close friend and moved away to New York, and you haven't talked to that person in 2 or 3 years, and then somebody gives you the phone number and says, oh yeah, my friend, she moved away. And you start calling that person and talking, and then soon you reestablish your friendship. You call that person twice a week, once a week, 3 times a week. So the more time you spend, the closer you get. So similarly, Lord is somebody whom we have at this moment forgotten, even though he is in our heart, but we have forgotten about him. So the more you remember him through all your activities, the closer you get. So that is the idea, that every activity, everything that he is, the watch is him, the glasses are him, my mouth is him, my nose is him. That's what we heard from Prabodhji this last week. I think this was a very beautiful series of lectures. I am that consciousness. That one has to remember. You know, we always think of God as being outside. But I am that consciousness. He and I are one. But then that should not translate into arrogance, that if I am that consciousness, everybody else is inferior. No, I am that consciousness and everybody is that consciousness. And that is where a lot of the abuses in religion came, where people said, I am God, you know, and you are all my, you know, devotees and you all have to serve me. Then it becomes arrogance. But when you say, I am that consciousness, then everybody is also that consciousness. All chairs are that consciousness, all everything. Then that person has respect even for inanimate things, you know, even for their slippers and for their chairs and car. They have love for everything, respect for everything, because God is there. So that is the essence of this shloka, that see him in every activity, because ultimately everything is him and him alone. We have a few minutes if somebody would like to talk about this or anything else.
I've also heard it said that
As far as the field of study, one should focus on one field. Whether if you're studying Vedanta, then go deep into the Vedanta. If you're studying Buddhist philosophy, go deep into that. If you're studying Confucius or German or whatever, go deep into that. Pick what one branch of philosophy and go deep into it. But when you study the lives of saints, it is to get inspiration of how they faced life's challenges and how their faith in the Lord remained firm. And in that, you can study about their philosophy. It is okay. There's nothing wrong in reading about Saint Francis or, you know, Mother Teresa or, you know, Tukaram or Mirabai. Reading their lives gives you great inspiration. And actually, it's very inspiring. Like, there is this movie about Tukaram. And it's such a powerful movie. And I mean, it changes your whole thinking, how this ordinary, simple, in a person, how much faith and love he had for Lord. So it really changes your life when you hear about Saint Francis, how he used to talk to animals and loved everybody. So those things inspire you. So that is the idea, that just you can read about all the saints, all are, you know, his messengers. But one should not keep changing your philosophy, you know, every day. It's like our kids, you know, for 6 months they want to do engineering, and then they say, no, I like medicine, and then I like music, and I like, and you tell them, wait, pick a major, you know, and focus on that. You cannot keep changing your majors. And so that's what we do. We keep changing our major, you know, every 6 months we pick up. It's okay to read, have a wide knowledge, but then one should eventually come down to, because we have limited time in this earth. You have only, what, 70, 80 years to live. And out of that, you have to do your worldly things. And the amount of time you have to study and practice spirituality is limited. Maybe after you retire, you may have more time. So if you're just going to waste your time in discovering things, you'll never get anywhere. You know, in oil wells, we say, you know, if you dig 20 superficial wells, you won't find oil. But you dig one well deep, and you are more likely to find oil. In Kern County, that's what they teach us. So that is the idea. Again, not to become fanatical, but once you have found a path, then stay firm and go deep into that knowledge. Understand the depth of that. What does Vedanta mean? What does Shankaracharya say? What does Chinmayananda say? Or it could be Christianity, or it could be Buddhism. What did Buddha mean? So go deep into that knowledge without becoming fanatical. Yeah, no, I'm not saying, you know, everybody has their own choice. I usually don't talk about it, but yeah. It just came up. So, you know, everybody has to choose their own path. And, you know, that as long as you're doing it with reverence that there is the Lord, yeah. And if in your mind you're okay, like an Eskimo, you know, living in the Arctic, he or she has no choice. You know, they have to. But also from the health point of view, if you look at it, they have found that diets that are more rich in fiber, fruits, vegetables, are rich in antioxidants, reduce the chances of cancer, heart disease, cholesterol. So even from a health perspective, people are, you know, slowly moving away from a diet exclusively focused on meat and bread to including more fruits and vegetables. So that's the idea, that one should slowly move away from that. Because originally the diet was exclusively only meat and potatoes, you know, and now people are realizing that that causes a lot of problems like cancer, diverticulitis and heart disease. And the fish now, you know, they get so much mercury, you know, they're finding the levels of mercury very high in fish. So, yeah, no, I'm not trying to promote, you know, any particular, I just happened to mention it because... Yeah, there's three kinds of food, you know, tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. Tamasic are foods that are intoxicating, like alcohol, drugs, you know, or old food that has been preserved and kept for 6 months, a year and all. Like these old cheeses and all, they're very tamasic. Or like in India, they drink that kanji, which they have kept for months. That is very tamasic. Then rajasic are these foods that are meat and that are very spicy, very fried, very heavy, you know, because they give you a lot of energy to do physical labor. And then the sattvic are the fruits and vegetables and foods that have been lightly cooked. You know, you could take a fruit and vegetable and put a lot of oil and butter and cheese like you get in the Indian restaurants. That becomes very rajasic because it has so much cream and cheese and all in it. But which is lightly cooked with a little bit of, you know, butter and a little bit of salt and all. So So there are three qualities of food, just as there are three qualities of everything. You know, in later on in the Bhagavad Gita, we'll be dealing with that. Three qualities of food, three kinds of seekers, three kinds of, you know, love, three kinds of devotion, all that. Three kinds of charity, you know, so there is. Right, it's not that good. That's true. Protein from beans and all that is not good. But milk and cheese, you know, yeah, it, but you're right. That one has to, you know, balance it. But by and large, I think what it is that the idea that violence, you know, like she said, you know, when you cut your finger, it hurts. So when, you know, so that is the idea. And everybody has a right to live. But again, that's an individual choice. We're not saying that, you know, a person may be eating meat, but then maybe a very nice person treat everybody well. And a person may be a vegetarian, but then maybe very corrupt, very dishonest. So that is only one aspect. You know, what you eat is a very, very small part of what you are. What you eat is not, doesn't determine everything. You know, how you treat others, how you deal with others, how honest you are in your dealings. That is more important than what you eat. So what you eat is a very small part of who you are. And so one could be a very good person and, you know, just by eating meat doesn't make you a bad person. So I never meant to imply that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.